have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. As we think about the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we think about all the different blessings that are in our hearts and minds and souls and lives today because of His resurrection. Now, after His resurrection, immediately after His resurrection, there was a tremendous amount of sorrow and grief. The apostles and everyone else who had been following Jesus, they all were depressed and discouraged and despondent after His crucifixion. When they had seen Him crucified, the Word of God teaches us that all hope was lost. They thought that was the end of everything. When they saw Him crucified and buried in the tomb, they thought that all that they had believed and all they had been preaching, they thought that it was all come to naught. They had been preaching that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They believed that Jesus was going to set up His kingdom right there in Jerusalem. And they did not fully understand all that they were preaching and teaching. But when Jesus was crucified, when He died, all hope was lost. And I want you to just think about how sad all the disciples of Jesus Christ were during those 3 days that He was in the tomb. Think about how sad and how they grieved over the death of the one that they thought and they believed was the Messiah. And then He arose from the grave. And everything changed. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter expresses it this way. And I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So, He says, now we have a lively hope again. God has begotten us again unto a lively hope. We are restored to that feeling that we had when Christ was with us and was walking with us. We now have the total confidence that we had to begin with while we saw Him performing miracles and we knew that He was the Messiah, or we believed that He was the Messiah. Now, when we hear of and have seen the risen Lord, He says, God has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart the people of God that know Jesus, like Peter knew Jesus right here, that they also have a lively hope. They're happy people. If you're not happy, it's because you don't know Jesus as well as you need to know Jesus. Because when you really know Jesus and you walk with Him and you talk with Him, you'll be like Peter, who had a lively hope, a lively confidence. He was confident in Jesus Christ. God had begotten Him again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the resurrection of Jesus and our resurrection, you see, it's not just that Jesus was raised from the dead, but I have a lively hope that I will be raised from the dead because Jesus was raised from the dead. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central theme of all Christianity. It all centers around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just that He died, but that He rose again. He died for our sins, and He rose again for our justification. The Word of God teaches us there that the two most horrible things that have ever happened in humanity, sin and death were both conquered by Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and death was defeated by His resurrection. Back up in your Bibles, I want you to see just a few moments. I want us to just kind of go through the book of Acts very quickly and just notice that the resurrection of Jesus Christ That's what the church was preaching as they began. That's what they were talking about. That's what everyone was excited about. That's what they were all talking about, was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Beginning in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, look at verses 23 and 24. And I encourage you to look in your Bibles as we go through, because we're just going to go through and very briefly just go from chapter to chapter in the book of Acts and just see that the resurrection of Christ was the central theme of what they were talking about. That's what they were excited about. That was the lively hope that they had. It all rested in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he says, "Him," that is Jesus, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Now that's what the people did. By their wicked hands they took him, and they slew him, they killed him. Now the next verse says, "whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Death could not hold our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He broke the pains of death. He was resurrected from the dead. That's what Peter preached. He says, "You slew him, but God has raised him from the dead." Look at Acts chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Acts chapter 3, after Peter and James and John have been preaching and teaching, and Peter and John have been into the temple, and they saw the lame man, and they reached down and took that lame man and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," they lifted up that lame man. Listen, brethren, if God can raise Jesus from the dead, He can certainly lift up lame and sick people. And so it is that Peter lifted him up by the power and the grace of God. And then he began to preach in Acts 3, verses 14 and 15. He says, "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life." That's what they did. They would rather have Barabbas released to them. They cried out, "Release Barabbas and crucify Jesus." And Peter continues to tell the people, "You killed him, you slew him, but God raised him from the dead." So he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 15, "You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Peter and all of these other people, hundreds of people saw Jesus. They literally saw him raised after he was risen from the dead. And as they saw him, Peter says, "Now, we're witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead." They despised that teaching. They despised Jesus. And they despised any teaching that talked about Jesus being raised from the dead. It was a doctrine that enraged them. You see, it was a truth that got Peter begotten again unto a lively hope. But it was a truth that it caused the world to despise anyone that taught that Jesus was raised from the dead. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. In Acts 4 and verse 33, we continue to see that this is the theme that they keep teaching and preaching. In Acts 4, verse 33, the scripture says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them." Come on up to Acts chapter 10. For the sake of time, come to Acts 10. This is where Peter is sent to the house of Cornelius, the Gentile, the first Gentile that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. They heard the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. They heard the truth about Jesus. And Cornelius and his household believed that Jesus was the Christ, and they believed he was crucified, and they believed that he died for their sins, but they also believed that he rose from the grave. In Acts chapter 10, look at verse 39. Peter is preaching to the house of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 39, the scripture says, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." You see, what does he do every time that he talks about the resurrection? What does he do first? He said, I want you to know he was killed. He was slain. That same Jesus whom you crucified, he said, that same Jesus who you slew, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Jesus is reigning today. I have a lively hope. I am as excited. I'm as full of joy. I have no reason to be sorry. I have no reason to be discouraged or despondent because I have a lively hope, a firm confidence that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And because he was raised from the dead, I'm confident that I also will be raised from the dead. That's one of the many reasons that I have not to be discouraged ever or despondent. In Acts chapter 10, well, he repeats that several other times to Cornelius and his household. Look at Acts chapter 17. The apostle Paul is preaching here, and that's the last one we'll glance at in the book of Acts, just talking about the fact that the central theme of the Christian preaching, the central theme of the gospel of Jesus Christ centered around the kingdom of heaven and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no kingdom of heaven unless there's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the King of the kingdom of heaven. There is no eternal heaven for us if there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't have any hope of eternal heaven, and we don't have any hope of ever being in the kingdom of heaven and experiencing righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost while we live if we don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's alive today. You ask me how I know he lives?
He lives in my heart.
That's right. Yes, he does. Listen, in 1 Corinthians, go in your Bibles very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the Word of God here makes it very plain that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without also preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brethren, there are people who deny and doubt the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you deny that, you might as well deny, you have denied all the rest of God's Word. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15 beginning with verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15 beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? I declare unto you the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? The good news. What is the, now there is the good news or the gospel of God. Listen carefully just a moment. The Bible uses the expression the gospel of God. That is the good news about God. Okay? Then the Word of God talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's just the good news that specifically is about Jesus Christ. Then the Word of God talks about the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That is the good news about the kingdom of heaven. And then the Word of God talks about the gospel of the grace of God. That's the good news that specifically is talking about the grace of God. Now right now we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ pertaining to the resurrection, the good news about the resurrection of Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have also received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I have received, how that Christ died for our sins. Is that important to remember? Listen, brethren, if Christ had not died for my sins, I have no hope of anything. He died for my sins. He did something that I could not fix myself. He did something that my mom and daddy could not fix. I believe I have had as good a parent as anybody on the face of this earth. But did you know my mom and daddy could have given their lives? They could have said, God, we'll die for our son, and that would not have saved me from my sins. All the people that I know could say, we're going to lay down our lives and die for him to try to save him from his sins. I'm telling you that everybody combined has never saved one person from eternal hell. It's the work of Jesus Christ alone. He is the one who has saved us from our sins. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and what? That He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. He says now, I delivered this gospel unto you, that Christ Jesus died for our sins, and that Christ Jesus rose again. Come down to verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, who He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. You hear what Peter is saying there? Or rather, Paul. Paul is saying we're all false witnesses. We all have given testimony that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we're all liars if God did not raise Jesus from the dead. If there is no resurrection of the body, we're all liars. And our faith is vain. But there is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You hear that expression? He became the what? He became the first fruits of them that slept. That means there's going to be more fruit after Him. He is the first one that was raised from the dead. He was ordained by God to be raised from the dead, and He is the first fruits of them that slept. Were there others that were raised from the dead after His resurrection? Is there going to be a final resurrection when all the people of God, a people so great that no man can number, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe, that all the dead in Christ are going to be raised from the dust of the earth and conformed to the image of the Son of God, and this mortal shall put on immortality, and this sinful body is going to be changed into the image of the Son of God. It's going to be made absolutely perfect. That's a glorious, glorious truth. And it all hinges on Jesus. On Jesus. Listen, it goes all the way back to the beginning of this world. But it also goes to the very birth of Jesus. It goes to the birth of Jesus. Don't you ever doubt the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If Jesus was not born of a virgin Mary, you're just as dead in your sins as anybody else will ever be. Jesus was born of a virgin. He had to be born of a virgin in order to be sinless. He lived an absolutely perfect life. He never once yielded to temptation. He was God manifest in the flesh. And when He hung on the cross of Calvary and He shed His blood for our sins, in that moment when He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? In that moment when all the sins of all the people of God were placed on Jesus Christ, in that moment Jesus accomplished the main thing that He came to do. The Bible says that the angel told Joseph, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And He accomplished what He came to do. He didn't come and try to save anybody. He didn't come and offer to save. He came and He saved His people from their sins. And it's not a few people. Some people have the idea, oh, Jesus just died for a few. The Bible says they're as the sand of the seashore. The Bible says they're as the stars of heaven innumerable. The Bible teaches us that it's a people so great that no man can number out of every nation and kindred and tongue and family and tribe. So we believe in the resurrection of the body. Listen, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the text that we started off with this morning, the Word of God says that God hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have a lively hope not only that Jesus rose, but I have a lively hope that I shall be raised from the dead. You can go home and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and read about the final resurrection. But now listen very carefully. Everybody listen carefully. I'm not just looking forward to the final resurrection. I have a lively hope today. I have a lively hope today. Not just about the final resurrection, but I have a lively hope today that Jesus is with me today. I have a lively hope that I have a shepherd walking with me every day. David didn't have anything on us when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I can say today with all of my heart, "The Lord is my shepherd today." But him being my shepherd today hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I have been begotten again to a lively hope, not just that I'm going to be raised from the dead, but I have a lively hope that I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I have one whose name is Jesus who abides with me today. He walks with me and talks with me. My Jesus is with me today. Listen, turn in your Bibles. Go in your Bibles back just a moment to look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I want you to see that Jesus is with us. Jesus promised. He told his apostles he was going away, but then he says, "I'm going to come back and I'm going to live with you and I'm going to dwell with you." Have you ever felt Jesus with you? The Word of God says that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Jesus was with us this past Wednesday night in our communion service. He said, "I will be with you in that communion service." He was with us in the communion service. If you don't feel Jesus here today, you're missing something, because he's here now, right now. And he is with you if you will walk in the light. Listen carefully. If you will walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have him walking with you every day of your life. And that'll give you great strength and peace and assurance and joy. I have no reason to worry about today. I don't have any reason to worry about tomorrow, because God has begotten me again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ, and Jesus lives with me today. Look at John chapter 14, verse 23. John chapter 14, verse 23. The Word of God says, "Jesus answered and said unto him," and he's just told them he's going away. They didn't understand anything of what he was talking about. And in John 14, verse 23, he says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we," pronoun "we" is referring to whom? The Father and the Son. The Father and the Son. "We will come unto him and make our abode with him." You know what that means? He's going to come make his abode with you. He's going to come live with you. He's going to come stay. Some people say stay. I like live a whole lot better. You know, I live at 655. I don't stay over there. I live at 655 Acock Road. Well, Jesus lives. He lives with those of his people who are loving him and serving him. He lives with us today. He makes his abode with us right now. Look at Galatians 2. Galatians, please look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Listen. This is very, very pretty. Listen carefully. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Word of God says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." Now, the people of God are supposed to be dying daily. That is, we're supposed to be separating ourselves from sin. We're supposed to be mortifying the deeds of the flesh. But even though we mortify the deeds of the flesh and we... He says here, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ," what? This is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. "But Christ," what? "Christ," what? "Liveth in me." Well now, the only way Christ can live in, could have been living in Paul here, and the only way that Christ can be living in you today is if he rose from the grave. He's alive. And he liveth. Paul said, "He liveth in me." I can't even... So what's your name? Susie? No. Donna. I never can remember her name. Have you ever seen people that you hardly ever see, but every time you see them, you see Jesus in them? Have you ever seen people like that? That wherever you go, you just look and you think, wow, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. Somebody's walking with God very closely when every time you look at them, you think, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. And when you see people that you see Jesus, you don't have to know them. I see them in stores occasionally. I see them in restaurants. I see them different places that I go. And when I see somebody that I see Jesus in them, I usually say, your light is shining. And you know, most of them will say, well, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad he can see you. They know what I mean. Now, occasionally when I say, your light is shining, they'll look around and they'll say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I said, I just see Jesus in you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus lives in you if you are serving him and loving him. That's the promise Jesus gave. If a man love me, my Father and I will come and we'll abide with him. We'll live with him. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see? Is he still talking about the crucifixion? But is he also talking about the resurrection? Both of them are there. He lives with me because he died for me. And he rose again. Let me say one other thing. You see, there are so many things that we have a lively hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have a lively hope of my resurrection, the resurrection of all the people of God. I have a lively hope of that because of his resurrection. I have a lively hope that I don't have to face anything in this world alone. I don't have to face anything. If you face something in this world alone, it's because you just haven't been walking with Jesus. Because if you walk with Jesus, Jesus is going to be with you wherever you go. So you can have a lively hope that Jesus is going to be with you. But one other thing I want you to think about in closing. Did you know that as long as this earth continues, that the church will always be there? As long as this earth continues, the church of Jesus Christ will remain. The Word of God says that Jesus says that Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus built it. This isn't my church. This isn't your church. It isn't our church. It's his church. He bought it. He built it. He established it. And it's his church. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, you know why I have a lively hope that the devil cannot destroy the church? As long as the church is the church now. There's plenty of churches that have closed their doors. But as long as the church is the church, as long as the church is following Jesus, as long as the church is honoring her head, as long as the church is worshiping God, as long as the church is earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that church will not die. May God help us to know we've got a lot of things to be excited and happy about today because Jesus lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.